Welcome to the Cabin Crew Podcast.
We have liftoff for the Cabin Crew Podcast, the saddest New York Jets fan podcast by the saddest two Jets fans in the greater New York City, New York State area. I'm Ben. That's Aaron. Coming off a shitty loss to the Raiders.
Yeah, you can... That pretty much sums it up. You can say that. You know, the clocks have changed. The depression has hit. And the Jets are not helping the cause at all. Just piling it on, making it worse.
Yeah, just like, I think visually, I'm wearing a black hoodie, you're wearing a black hoodie, we're just fucking sad as
depressed.
Shit because of the Jets. We don't do this to ourselves. Yeah. I think we're forcing ourselves to watch a bad product, and it's slowly but surely killing us. That's what it feels like.
It sure feels like that way. I mean, it's just not fun. And I think the weeks of being optimistic going into the games, you know, we texted a little bit before the game last night, and you were feeling a big night for Garrett Wilson. And
which he kind of started off good.
Which he did. Yeah, he started off great, and offense looked good. But I think I've lost my pregame positivity. I think that's out the window now. Ever since last week, and then this week, it kind of diminished. Every week, I'm like, "Oh, I should maybe bet a little bit on the game, you know, ready get some excitement going." But every week, I'm just like, "It's not going to be fun. I'm just going to make myself more angry losing money on top of the Jets being terrible." So it's just not fun.
So that being said, I'm assuming that you did not have any action on the game last night.
Did not. No, I passed.
Got it. Smart move.
I've passed for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Don't remember what the over-under was, but we had a total of 28 points. So
yeah.
Jets losing 16-12 has to be under. I was watching the game with my friend, and I said, at halftime, whoever scores a touchdown first wins this game. And it was 9-6, right? A bunch of field goals. It ended up being true.
Yeah.
The Raiders scored, and... the Jets didn't show me anything to score a touchdown. All right, I mean, where do we start? I don't
right
know.
In the first quarter.
Yeah, first quarter.
You know, that
three field goals should have been three touchdowns.
Should have been three touchdowns, and their offense looked good. It looked like they were gelling. It looked like it was all coming together. Wilson was moving the ball. Garrett Wilson was making ridiculous catches. Freaking Dalvin Cook had his biggest run of the season. I mean, everything was coming together. And dumb penalties end up, you know, stalling drives, ending drives and field goals, which just can't happen. One was on Wilson, that stupid, what was it, intentional grounding?
Yep.
When he just couldn't freaking figure out, just threw it to the ground. No one was stupid. And then Uzama, stupid penalty that stalls another drive.
He's had a bunch of those this year. Yep.
Actually, I think two drives, because didn't Breece Hall scored a touchdown, but it got called back for Uzama.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another play. Didn't Wilson like scramble for close to a touchdown, and that got...
He stepped out of bounds on the three, and then Breece ran in for a score, and the holding call got back, and then, strip sack, we fell on the ball, and it was just... That might have been the second half. All those drives blended together because the Jets couldn't score in 7-25.
And it's like, how many times are they going to keep doing this? Because... You can put it on whoever you want to put it on. You can put it on Zach Wilson. You can put it on the play callers. Something's got to change because good football teams score in those positions. They don't make dumb penalties. They don't commit stupid turnovers. They don't make dumb decisions. They score. Like, why the fuck can the Jets not score a touchdown?
It perplexes me. And listen, Aaron, we started this podcast because I wanted to have fun talking about the Jets. And we're just...
Yeah.
Breaking down a shitty team, and it's not fun. It's
which is why confusing. We don't do it as much, because it's just not fun.
Yeah, and like, to me, it's confusing because Robert Saleh blames the penalties, but penalties is coaching. So I'm just confused. And it's like, if you're good enough to get into the red zone to score, and then you're like, all right, sure, we could have those 21 points, but we got 9. Whatever, at least we got points. Why can't you do that again? Like, it was just not sustainable. And I know offenses go through ebbs and flows in the course of a game, but just to never get back there, to not sniff the end zone at all in the last 11 quarters, it's kind of ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And it's a boring brand of football, just not fun to watch. And some of it is the play calling. I feel like they're too afraid to take any risks. Even after the penalty, whatever, it's 1st and 15, 1st and 20. They ran the ball twice and then a shitty pass. Like, take a shot. Just fucking throw 3 times. Try to fucking score in the end zone. But you're not going to score when you get a yard, 2 yards, a dump off, negative yards, kick a field goal. It's just, yeah.
No, I mean, part of me understands trying to get the ball into Breece Hall's hands, which they didn't really do barely at all until the fourth quarter, which I wrote down. Breece Hall had 3 catches for 47 yards. When he did have the ball, he did something with it, but they just never did it. So as fans, like, of course we're supposed to feel frustrated because they tried feeding Garrett Wilson. All of a sudden, like, he gets a little banged up, so you're not throwing his way. Alan Lazard can't catch a ball for any bit of what his contract is worth. I cannot. It just...
Yeah.
These guys are getting paid millions of dollars. And I mean, it's not like we didn't go to Vegas. We didn't fly out there. We're watching the game for free on NBC over the air. But this is Sunday Night Football. Everyone's freaking watching. And it's not football. It's like rugby. You're just kicking the ball constantly.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me feel like, I know Saleh's been kind of defensive of Wilson and saying he had a decent game, this and that. The playing calling shows me that they have zero trust in Zach Wilson to take care of the ball and make decisions. True. Because in the red zone, they run way more than they pass, which they have a great running game.
Sure.
But even on third down, they're not taking a shot at the end zone. They're doing a very smart play where he's not going to turn it over and you're going to kick a field goal.
Right,
just kneel it. Just kneel it 3 times.
Right.
Run the clock down and hit a field goal.
Okay, so part of me understands that. But, like, okay, don't turn the ball over. Don't trust Zach Wilson. But it becomes predictable. And defenses know exactly what you're going to do. And that is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. They're keeping... Yeah.
And it's not going to happen.
The ball on the ground with Breece Hall is not going to produce touchdowns. At least it hasn't. No. So I'm sorry.
And the past 2 weeks, even the Chargers game, they have a good defensive line, but I believe they have a pretty shitty defense. People put up points against the Chargers.
Yep.
Look at the Lions yesterday.
Yeah. 42
Lions,
points.
What, put up 42 points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was 42-38. So, like, Chargers are always in high scoring games. Unless they play the Jets. The Raiders, I feel like they don't have a great defense. Put up fucking 12 points. 4 field goals. It's just, it's unacceptable. You're a pro football team. Zach Wilson, you're a professional quarterback in your third year. Can't figure it out. Gotta move on. It's over.
Zach, like, love you. We had a lot of confidence in you as the backup to Aaron Rodgers earlier this season. Full support until you show us 1 touchdown in 5 games. That's it. Like, you have every right. I think there was a lot of shots yesterday of Aaron Rodgers shaking his head when Nathaniel Hackett was making a play call, just never looking excited.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers might have been good with Nathaniel Hackett because he could audible out of every play. Like, he probably was like, here's the call, and like, kill, option B. And Zach Wilson's not really doing that. And he's just fucking up, man. I feel bad for the kid because, again, there are flashes of talent, but there has to be a change. So I'm curious. I want to get your take. What do you think of Robert Saleh staying with him? Because he said, again, We lose to the Chargers, lose to the Raiders, back-to-back primetime games, and he's going to stick with them for Buffalo next week. What do you think?
I don't like it. I mean, I understand sticking with them in the beginning, first few weeks, but I really did not like the decision to not go after someone because we're wasting this defense. We are just completely wasting this defensive talent because it's hands down the best defense in the league, no question. Yep. They are, you know, holding future Hall of Fame quarterbacks to terrible games, shit yards, interceptions, turnovers. It's the greatest defense I think we've had in a very long time, if not, I don't know, ever.
Like, better than last defense. Year. No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, even when Revis was there, like, this is just a, like, unstoppable defense, and we're wasting it because you want to stick with fucking Zach Wilson,
yeah,
who cannot barely get the ball over the 50. Barely.
It frustrates me just say, like hearing you say it, because this team is 4-5 and they could be 6-3 right now. And yeah, they need to. Like, yeah, basically the last 2 weeks are wasted losing these two games, and now yeah, they're out of the playoff hunt entirely because the entire AFC North is gonna take up all the freaking wild cards. So like, I don't think the Jets are in this. They're gonna have to win out, and that's going to be nearly impossible to
not
do
happening
with Zach Wilson. Yeah,
they're gonna lose the next 2 weeks. Yeah,
this defense is a Super Bowl caliber team. Super Bowl caliber defense, but the offense is remedial. Like, it's
so
pushing
bad
us back in time. It's literally that fucking bad. It's, I wish that every single Jet made the Pro Bowl, even defensively, even the back, like Solomon Thomas had a sack yesterday. And he's not even a starter. Like,
yeah,
everyone on that defense needs to go to the Pro Bowl, and everyone on the offense needs to get cut, except Garrett and Breece.
Yeah. And we're stuck now.
Joe Tippmann had a great game. I will say that.
Joe Tippmann looked great. You know, the line looked better yesterday.
Even Mekhi looked better. Yeah, they did. They all did.
Yeah. A lot more protection. The run game was a little bit better. You know, like I said, Dalvin Cook had a couple runs. But, I mean, now we're stuck. The Jets are stuck. His trade deadline has passed. No one else that you can sign. Carson Wentz got signed, so he's gone. I mean, did we talk about it last time? The Vikings. Look at the Vikings, what they did with Josh Dobbs. He was out there.
No, because Josh Dobbs signed with the Vikings, I believe, like the day after. October 31st, trade deadline. So he...
Oh, so the day after we...
The day after we recorded. And Josh Dobbs has... I wrote it down. 6 touchdowns in 2 games. And he's been with the team for less than 2 weeks. And the Jets could have had that for a 5th-round pick.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Like, what are they doing? And Zach Wilson's been, this is his 3rd year. He has not figured it out. When is the time where you just move on? You're just like, all right, it's not working. And why can't they do that?
I want to blame Joe Douglas, but we were texting a lot. And at what point is it Woody Johnson? And that's really the murmurs on, I think, New York sports talk radio right now is Woody pulling the strings behind the scenes?
It seems that way.
The blame could go to anyone. What do you think? Like, honestly, not that we know, we're just fans, we're just postulating, but.
I feel like it might be a little mix of the two. Like, it might be Douglas and Sala because they don't want to whiff on this pick, you know? Like, I feel like they don't want to admit they're wrong, that they whiffed on Zach Wilson. They were so confident when they drafted him. And now I feel like they're sticking to their guns, thinking that he's still going to be the guy. I feel like I could be wrong. I feel like Zach Wilson's not going anywhere. He's going to be Rodgers' backup. They're going to try to learn from him. Just not going to work.
I get it to a point. I think if the plan was Rodgers healthy, you stick with Zach and you see what he does.
Yeah.
But you're wasting prime years of the greatest defense in the league. In the NFL, and they're 4-5.
Not to mention all the rookie contracts we still have, which I think is going to bite us in the ass in a few years when it's Breece, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. Jermaine Johnson.
Pay $60 million.
What if Rodgers hangs it up? Yeah. What if Rodgers in a couple years is like, I'm done? You think all these guys are going to stay with Zach Wilson? They're going to be running out of New York.
They would be now if they could, I bet.
Probably would be. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, the future of the Jets is in a very fragile place, I would say.
Yeah. You know, wow.
That's... Might have a couple good years with Rodgers, hopefully. You know, we'll see how he comes back. And then after that, I mean, if they do win a Super Bowl with Rodgers, is it worth it? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, dude, at this point?
I don't know. You know, is like one good season. So to say next year, Rodgers plays really well. They win the Super Bowl. And then he walks off into the sunset. And then the Jets suck for the next like 30 years.
I mean, 30 years? It? No, it's not worth it. 10 years? Maybe. I think like
maybe
teams like the Broncos for Peyton Manning and the Bucks for Tom Brady like sold their soul for Super yeah. Bowls. And like, I think that buys yeah. at least a decade of goodwill. So yeah. maybe, but I laugh because it just doesn't really even seem possible at this point. Just like not at all in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I mean, even at this point, maybe this is a big reach, but maybe they're sticking with Zach Wilson because they know they're not going to win games maybe. And they can draft. I think it's a good quarterback class coming out next year. They can draft someone else and start fresh. Aaron Rodgers teaches a new guy. That's my only option. That's my yeah. only thought. I mean, they're what, 4-6?
4-5.
4-5. The Bears got the worst record in the league right now.
So the Panthers have the worst record in the league, and the Bears have their pick. So if gotcha. The Panthers right, are the right, worst right. team, the Bears get the pick. And if they stick with Justin Fields, then maybe they're selling. Maybe the Jets can trade up for a pick.
Yeah.
Same thing with like if the Giants have the worst record, maybe they stick with Daniel Jones and trade the pick. Or I don't know. Like this is all just guessing. We're all just yeah. reaching. Aaron, I know you're into the conspiracy theories, but I hate them. So I'm not going to yeah. believe it until I see it and have some like concrete evidence. But I don't want to see any team lose on purpose. I think that's just wasting hard-earned money. Again, I'm watching these games for free over with an antenna, but like I don't want to be wasting my money, you know, loving this team, buying jerseys for hundreds of dollars, going to games, spending money on tickets. Yeah. If they're going to lose on purpose. I just don't like that.
Yeah. No, and I don't want to see that either. I'd like to, you know, the defense is always going to keep them in games and have a potential to win. But, you know, the offense cannot get them over that hump. I don't know. That's my only thought of, like, saving the future is getting a quarterback next year. Who the hell knows?
Well, who knows? Eh, second overall pick, it just seems like it's all gone to waste. And 2024 is, only 2 months away. The draft 7 months away. But here we are talking about it. We thought we'd be in the playoff hunt with Aaron Rodgers, but we're talking about back-to-back losses to the Chargers and the Raiders here on the Cabin Crew podcast. It's not fun content, but at least we can commiserate together. I'll give us that.
Yeah.
We are also having a surprise guest on this podcast. He's one of our oldest, dearest friends. He has not been on this podcast before, so I know you're thinking, oh, they're previewing the Bills game next week with Will. You'd be wrong.
No.
Will's living it up tonight at Monday Night Football. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll know if the Bills won or lost, which actually is kind of important for the Jets. We do need the Bills to lose for the Jets to have any, like, I don't know, playoff sniff.
Yeah, I mean, the only hope is the Dolphins and Bills just start to suck. And God willing, the Jets, if they squeak out the division, I mean, who knows at this point?
Yeah.
That's the only shot, I think.
Miami was on bye this week. And we're going to have to beat the Bills and the Dolphins in the next 2 weeks. So could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Could happen. We'll stay positive, I guess.
Maybe. So anyway, I was speaking about our special guest. Not that I'm killing time because he's trying to figure out how to log on. But Nick, we'll keep last names out of it. But Nick has been an Oakland Raiders fan for as long as we've known the man. And now he's a Las Vegas Raiders fan. And he'll be joining us to, I don't know, rub it in our face. I don't even know why I invited him on. I just thought it'd be fun.
I don't know. I have a couple questions to ask him, I think. I don't know if you saw the video of Davante Adams kind of yucking it up with the Jets receivers before the game.
Ooh, no, I did not. Enlighten me.
Yeah, it was like it was Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, kind of just getting a little close with each other, you know, buddy buddy. So maybe they're talking a little future, maybe talking a little next season plans.
I could see it. You know, Davante and Aaron Rodgers were hanging out in Vegas on Saturday night.
Yes, they were. So connect the dots. Conspiracy number one.
That's not really a conspiracy. I think that's those are legitimate dots that you're putting together.
Yeah. Yeah. New dot watch. Dot watch two.
How is Davante Adams dot? D-A Davante Adams to New York. Datney.
Yeah.
No.
Datney. Connect the Datneys.
Datney watch.
Datney watch.
Yeah, I think that works. Davante Adams Jr. I would love to see. I mean, like, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but it would have been amazing to have Davante Adams in New York. The Jets defense, as elite as they are, held Davante Adams to zero catches in the second half last night. Like, I think he had like a few big breaks in the first half, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like, iron sharpens iron. We talk about like Sauce going up against Garrett Wilson in training camp, but imagine Sauce going up against Davante Adams and making him better. Woo.
I mean, the defense, the adjustments that the defense makes at halftime is like second to none. I mean, I'm pretty sure they don't. I mean, they allowed a touchdown yesterday in the second half, but they don't allow many points in the second half to teams. They shut teams down in the second half, and it's impressive because they're just that good, and then they get better as the game goes on. It's crazy.
Just keeping talking about this makes me really sad. Last thing I want to mention before Nick comes on, and this would be a great transition anyway, but I want you, I know Will's not here, but when you saw that video of the roller coaster last night on NBC, what was the first thing that popped into your mind?
The bachelor party that I went on, and the bachelor puking after he went on that roller coaster. That just... I saw that roller coaster and I immediately just started dying laughing because we ruined that guy's weekend.
So like, no, I'm missing the story because I thought you went on the roller coaster with him. You put him on the roller coaster?
Did.
Oh, you did?
No, we all went on. It was me and Will, recurring guest Will's idea. We wanted to do something. It was our last full day in Vegas. And we were like, dude, let's go on the roller coaster. It's like $19. Pretty sweet. So we went to Raising Cane's first, loaded up on chicken fingers and fries.
Greasy shit.
And then we were like, oh yeah. And if we felt better, everyone started to feel good. And then we were like, let's hit the roller coaster. And the bachelor ran to his hotel room, and it was not a short run. He sprinted and puked for the entire day. Mm. We ruined his last day of his bachelor party, just vomiting because he went on a roller coaster. There he is.
Hey, speaking of vomiting, nah, I don't know. Terrible transition. We were talking about the roller coaster in Vegas. Everyone listening, welcome Nick, our guest, our Raiders fan analyst to the Cabin Crew podcast. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I am truly honored. It's great to see you both.
Well, not on good terms. One sec. Bastards beat us.
Here, let me just move this block in Aaron's face. But yeah, it was. I don't want to get too worked up about it, but hey, a win's a win, especially after this season for both teams. Take whatever I can get.
We did not have a good time watching the game, and I don't think the Raiders played very well either. Like, could you even be excited about 16 points?
I mean, well. Coming into 2 weeks ago, we hadn't scored over 20 points in a game except for 3 weeks prior to that. And I think it was just on a safety on the last play of the game, which pushed it over. So 16 points is pretty much what to expect all season. I'm honestly, at this point, I'll take whatever I can get. I mean, that's just the moral of the story. But the offense did look better. I mean, it didn't really look like it last night, but from what I watched the first 7-8 weeks and then all of last season, they're at least taking chances, throwing the ball deep. Josh Jacobs actually has a pulse these last 2 weeks, so it's
and that lib AOC was really slinging the ball.
He's got it. He's a little. I know he looks like the guy from Super Troopers, but he's a little wonky back there. But he has his moments though. Well, they weaved it in and out with like saying, "Oh, he's got the same quarterback coach as Tom Brady and his cadence and everything," and he's like bobbled three snaps. It's just like looks like such a dope with like the mustache and everything. But hey, it's crazy that all given all that, the offense looks leaps and bounds better than it did with Jimmy G on his best day. So it's new blood, and he's also making a fraction of what Jimmy G was making. But yeah, I mean, it's the team, you can tell. And I mean, immediately they were playing cornhole. They were the offensive linemen were like wrestling with each other in the locker room the day after Josh McDaniels got fired. They want to say that it was like, there was like, oh, it's just another day at the office, but they're like, they got cotton candy machines, popcorn machines. Like it's a whole nother
popcorn, club. Candy, soda. What else could you need?
No, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Good reference.
Hey, so you're all in on Antonio Pierce, Nick?
As of right now, yeah. I mean, all, like I said, it's pretty much just how that's the Raiders' mantra. It's like anything's better than how it's been before that. But I mean, you can just tell just looking at the. I watched like all the post game interviews after the game, which I usually never do, and just like you can see Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby, Aiden O'Connell, Robert Spillane, all of them. They just seem completely bought. And granted, he was already there prior to this, or like prior to obviously him coming on as an interim coach, but just like you didn't see any of that this entire season up to that point. And I mean,
didn't you say that the Raiders had a bad defense? And then like I'm like, oh yeah, Max Crosby, he's like actually elite.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably top five defensive player in the league, edge rusher at least for sure. Yep. But I mean, they're getting better as the season goes on. But, I mean, they've had their moments. I mean, even last night, too. Like, the last play of the game, for example. Granted, Crosby, like, almost had him immediately. But they had to call a timeout to play immediately before that because they had three guys in the end zone when they probably should have had at least five or six. So, there's like, they're still working out the kinks, things like that. But, and their personnel-wise, they're probably going to be bottom tier of the league minimum in terms of who they have, just actual personnel. A lot of, like, practice squad guys, undrafted free agents, but you know, like they week by week, they have kept us in a lot of games, and the offense has just been so bad. Where like this loss to the Steelers beginning of the season, I should say, on Sunday Night Football, whenever it was, another defense kind of kept them in it the whole game. Offense couldn't do anything, and just the Steelers eventually was pretty much who was going to score first in the game, and sure enough, the Steelers were able to actually put together a touchdown drive, but. Last year, that was the thing that did us in, aside from blowing halftime or huge halftime leads, was the defense. We just could not make a stop whenever it was needed. At least now they're forcing turnovers, getting pressure on the ball, getting pressure on the quarterback, I should say, too. But pretty much they didn't bring in any personnel that was anything over the top this year. So guys are at least starting to gel around Patrick Graham and they got a pretty reasonable schedule after these next 2 weeks. I don't think they're going to really do anything and probably make the playoffs, but at least they've salvaged the season at least to be a close to a 500 team, which I never would have guessed this year was going to be any better than last year in the slightest. And sure enough, they're
Josh McDaniels in there. You're golden. I mean, I just thought about that. You said they're back to 500 basically. What's their record now?
No, they're five. Yeah, they're 5-5. I mean, last year they were 6-11 with Derek Carr, obviously a more competent quarterback and better personnel around them too. Like they still had Waller and Hunter Renfro was actually being used, a better offensive line. So the fact that they're probably going to surpass last year's win total is insane.
And it's just another team for the Jets to potentially leapfrog in the wild card, which sucks because again, like all three AFC North teams, probably the Chargers, probably the Raiders. I feel like the Jets really only path is the division at this point, which is sad.
That's it.
Yeah. And they got the Dolphins and the Bills next 2 weeks, I believe, or a flip flop Bills, then Dolphins. Yeah. Raiders is saying they had the Dolphins in Miami and then they're home against the Chiefs. Then they go on a bye. So realistically, probably looking at 5-7, the last five games, they at least have, I think the Broncos, Chargers, Colts, Vikings, and then Chiefs again. So four of those are winnable games, but probably 9-10 wins.
As Jets fans, we'll be rooting hard for the Raiders against the Dolphins.
Absolutely.
What's his face? Just reminded me of the guy that got the interception last night. What's his name?
Bobby Spillane.
He reminded me, just because of how he got in the camera, he looked just like Jon Favreau in The Replacements.
No, I know, yeah.
That's the same guy.
I know. I
got the ball!
I feel like I haven't seen him with his helmet off like in a while, too. And it's like, then he was like trying to announce that his wife was pregnant, and he was just like completely out of breath, too. He was like all worked up. It's like, I think he still had like his mouth guard and like spit coming all over the place. But yeah, like, and he was like, he was probably our second biggest free agent signing in the offseason. The people were like, he was solid with the Steelers, but he was like kind of just a retread, like not or more of a cast off, I should say. It's more of those, something like the Patriots, where if it's like the Patriots are letting you go defensively, then probably there's something that the rest of the league probably doesn't know about. But sure enough, the last couple of weeks, he's probably one of the lead leaders in tackles, makes a lot of play. I think this is at least his second or third interception, a couple fumble recoveries. So they're making plays, and that's the thing. Last year, it was comical. They couldn't, aside from Max Crosby, couldn't generate any pass rush, and they were horrendous at generating turnovers. And they started the season the same way, but little by little, they're at least making plays. Granted, I mean, some of the picks the last couple weeks and the pick yesterday, I mean, was pretty telegraphed, but these are plays last year that they're either dropping or just completely whiffing on sacks and fumbles, things like that, and just balls not bouncing their way.
That guy on the Raiders in like the early 2000s, he would always wear like that neck roll. Is he a linebacker? What's his name?
Bill Romanowski.
That's who Spillane reminded me of. Complete bit, yeah. Psycho.
Psycho. Yeah, that's what you need.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Antonio Pierce, too, he pretty much, they were saying in the during the game and then after at the press conference, or during the post game with Chris Collinsworth's son, that freaks me out because he sounds exactly like him. But he was pretty much said the same thing. Antonio Pierce came in like day one when he got named the interim head coach and was like, Josh Jacobs, like, you're the guy that needs to get everything going on offense, and said the same thing for Robert Spillane. And his best two games probably as a Raider have been these last 2 weeks. So seems like these guys are really taking it to heart, at least. We'll see. I mean, this next week will be the big test. If they can go into Miami and at least be competitive in a game that they probably would have been beat by 50 2 weeks ago with Jimmy G and McDaniels, I'd say that's a huge win. It's just a positive step forward.
Well, you know, I got to say I'm pretty jealous because the Raiders made a change. They fired somebody. Mm-hmm. And they moved on, and now they have new life. Whereas a Jets fan, we just stick with the bullshit, and we're just gonna tank. We're just gonna sit in the toilet bowl for the rest of the season because, you know, you see what changes do to a team, and the Raiders are undefeated since Josh McDaniels left.
Well, this one, I mean, it's tough because the Raiders, I mean, there was no other option, and I'm glad that they at least pulled the plug because they made it seem like, just hearing all the beat writers and everything going into the season, even as bad as last season was, because even last season, there was a couple games mid-season where they lost so horrendously. There was that game against the Patriots where Jacoby Myers threw that ball across field for no reason. They won on that, but that was another one that could have been a monumentally bad loss.
Hilarious,
exactly.
That was great, yeah.
And like that could have been like another monumentally bad loss. But they had like three losses last year alone that were like teams don't lose that way in like a decade, and they had three of those in probably the first 8 weeks of the season. So realistically, if Mark Davis like fired him last year at this point, like it would have been justified. But then everyone going into this season, even with Carr leaving and stuff like that, that kind of gave him more of a fresh start. And it's like, all right, we'll let him have his guy in here and do that. But I'm just so glad that they're at least able to. I mean, it took them getting embarrassed on Monday night against the Lions. But if that doesn't happen and they maybe lose like a tight game and then just lose towards the end, Josh McDaniels probably still the head coach, probably have to wait it out a whole nother year or another half of the year throughout this year. So
I know that loss on Monday night worked out for you because McDaniels was fired. Did not work out for the Jets because Joe Douglas was trying to call your GM and McDaniels to trade for Devontae Adams, but they couldn't get through because they were firing. Yeah. So like Aaron and I were just talking, like, wouldn't Devontae Adams have been nice? Are you like, want to keep him?
I obviously want to keep him. Personally, he's probably one of my favorite players to begin with, even before coming to the Raiders. So it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, having him and Carr for the first couple weeks last year were fantastic, just watching those two work and actually having a quarterback that would throw him the ball and throw it deep. And then the first couple weeks of this season, and obviously that Lions game was like the tip of the iceberg when he's like slammed his helmet on the sideline after that horrible overthrow when he had him beat deep by probably 10 steps and he just – Jimmy G finally throws a ball deep and overthrows him by 5 yards. But that was pretty much – that would have been like the perfect ending for him to – and at the time, I was on like the trade deadline day. I thought like trading him and Jacobs would have made sense. But, you know, like then they fired McDaniels obviously the next day. So realistically, it would have made sense that they got rid of him then did that. But I'm glad that they kept him around. I mean, you can even see him too. He's a pretty soft-spoken guy, but like – sending or the, you see videos of him dancing in the locker room after the game yesterday. So who knows, maybe after this year, they still let him go if they're going to probably, because I mean, Aiden O'Connell probably isn't the guy that's going to be the quarterback of the future per se, but at least it's someone that they can actually put in there and be competitive with. So it'll be tough. Like, does he want to stick around? He's got a huge cap hit, things like that. Does he want to stick around long-term? I don't know. I saw that he was with Rodgers over the weekend. So,
and he was yucking it up with the Jets receivers before the game yesterday too. So we'll connect some dots and maybe he'll be in green and white next year, but probably not.
No, and honestly, like as I was watching the game, like I didn't want to come back to that too about the Jets, like kind of just like sticking with what's going. Like I honestly thought Zach Wilson really didn't play that bad. Like, I mean, he had some moments, like some bad throws, but for the most part, made a lot of plays, kept them in, like a lot of great drives, but they really, even watching like Saleh's press conference after the game, they really just shot themselves in the foot, but it wasn't really as much him. It was more just like self-inflicted. It was honestly like watching the Raiders. A couple of nice drives in a row, moving the ball downfield, and then just stupid penalties after stupid penalty. Unnecessary. And not even like penalties, are just like, all right, hold, like, kind of just like gets caught grabbing someone's jersey, but just like unnecessarily stupid penalties, like the one with CJ Uzomah and stuff like that. That's like pretty much what I'm used to with the Raiders. But the Jets, I mean, they're a far more disciplined team. So it was just like, granted, a lot of the penalties were on offense and the defense is fantastic, but still, I mean, like Wilson made some really nice plays. And at the same time, a lot of play calling, especially on second and third down, like essentially when it was second and long after these penalties, they were either dumping it off or just screen passes, like not really giving him any chance to kind of.
No chance. No, so. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, two thoughts on that, Nick. First of all, I think the Raiders were also like, you know, you said it reminded you of watching that team because they had dumb penalties at stalled drives and they got rid of McDaniels and like all of a sudden maybe that's not an issue. And again, penalties, I was telling Aaron before, is coaching. So like how much of that do you blame on Saleh? That's thought True. Number one, but I don't know. It's just, it's not fun to watch. And I forgot my second thought, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like even watching Saleh's press conference too, like I do feel for him because like they're pretty much all the questions are like, all the reporters, every single one of their questions is essentially saying, without saying it, like, why aren't you benching Zach Wilson? And it's like, it's got to be tough. And like I watched his press conference too afterwards, extremely like way more poised than like I remember last year that game against the Patriots. I think it was last year where he pretty much like threw the offense under the bus. Or I should say, was it defense?
The defense. He didn't take accountability.
It was the defense.
Yeah.
But like,
But
like, watching him here, like he pretty much like took all accountability for himself. Like, obviously that pick was.
He's
brutal.
Been doing that all year.
He's so, more mature. Like,
he has matured a lot. Sure. Yeah, he's matured a lot. But at the same time, you know, one of the stupid penalties was him intentional grounding, which cost that first drive.
That is true.
He's playing better, but at the same time, for a third-year quarterback, I don't think he's playing where he should be.
Yeah. The progress is slow, where it's like he's just doing a little bit more each week. Just he's like being a little bit better, and they can't like bench him because he's improving. Like you can't say he's not.
Exactly. And the problem is like he gets better then regresses. Mm-hmm. So like he looked his best against the Chiefs. He looked great against the Chiefs, and then he fucking sucked for like 4 weeks and then like he looked better last night, but then he's gonna play the Dolphins.
Exactly.
They'll only kick field goals. He can't be consistent. Yeah. He's either good or he's god awful.
Yeah, and you kind of see that a little bit with like Justin Fields too. Like, I mean, I know Justin Fields like last year, and obviously he's far more of a weapon running the ball and stuff like that. But Zach Wilson, they were saying, was the leading rusher yesterday for the Jets. Made a lot of nice plays, just like keeping plays alive, especially the last play of the game. Keeping plays alive, running for first downs, things like that. So, I mean, he has the capability. And I think it's just, it's tough with him because he has such a big arm and like can make these unbelievable throws. I think it's tough for him to maybe not transition to maybe a like true dual threat quarterback. But honestly, maybe they do more just like read option type plays that actually like let him use his legs more. If they're not going to let him throw the ball deep, like too much. I mean,
he is like working in an offense that was built for Aaron Rodgers. Right,
exactly.
And he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think they do have to let him loose a little bit.
Yeah.
The Chiefs game, they let him loose, and he made great plays. Mm. They gotta take the reins off, because at the same time, you know, the Jets aren't gonna have an embarrassing loss that'll get everybody benched and
for
fired.
Sure. Yeah.
They're gonna be in every single game, and it's just gonna be the offense didn't score, but could have won. You never know.
And honestly, like,
that's what it's going to be.
Every week.
Someone made a point, I think, on the post game. It was either like Rodney Harrison or Tony Dungy, but they were even saying, too, it's like the identity of the Jets, like, isn't going to be like beating teams throwing the ball. And it's just like you have Breece Hall. And they were touching on like the fact that Breece Hall only had like 13 carries. And like Dalvin Cook had a couple nice runs, too. And you still have Michael Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's no reason that the Jets kind of can't turn into a team almost like the Falcons that just like run the ball 35 times a game and just wear you out. And then you still have a guy like Garrett Wilson that can keep the defense honest too. But honestly, go back to Davante Adams as well. Watching that, like, obviously, like, it's going to be completely different with Rodgers. But if you pair Wilson with Adams, I mean, it sounds easy, but like pairing Wilson with Adams would be a great tandem. But I feel like that is the type of receiver that they would. The Jets are really looking for, because Alan Lazard is
he's looked
okay, but he doesn't seem like the same guy like from a couple of years ago.
He looked terrible yesterday.
Like those two would complement each other like perfectly. And in the Raiders, I mean, to a T, I'm not comparing like Jacoby Myers to Garrett Wilson, but when the Raiders offense has looked pretty good and they've kind of been moving the ball well, you've got essentially, and they mentioned it during the game, you've got Jacoby Myers on one side, Davante Adams, essentially just playing off of each other. When teams are going to overcommit to Davante Adams, most likely, you've had Jacoby Myers looking like a top 20 receiver in the league. So just having that presence of two guys on each side, and like Tyler Conklin's a good tight end, nothing against him either. But for the most part, it's really just Garrett Wilson, and he's been incredible too. But
someone like Zach Wilson needs a receiver that. You can throw a bad pass, but they'll come down with it.
Yeah.
It's like Fitzpatrick with Marshall and Decker.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the throws that he was making was shit. But
they're
just coming down with them because they're good.
And Garrett Wilson, I mean, he is that guy too. But I mean, I think they can still pair him with another veteran guy that's similar in a similar mold. But he's an absolute stud. I mean, the pass he had on like the 3rd and 2. That he not only like was able to bat the ball to himself and still hang on, but like the hit he took to still have the control to tip it up to himself and still come down with it. He made some unbelievable throws yesterday, or unbelievable catches yesterday.
Yeah, so, I think what you're describing is more like, I don't know that much about Jacoby Myers, but probably more like AJ Brown, big bruising wide receiver, and Devontae Smith, quick shifty wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's probably more
like
that if Adams and Wilson were paired together.
And I mean, like, Garrett Wilson's not like a big bruising guy either, but he can go across the middle, catch passes, can obviously beat
super
guys
shifty.
Deep. But I had that exact same thought. Like, in the back of my head, I was just like, if Adams does go to the Jets next year with Rodgers, like, that is the perfect
deadly.
Piece. I mean, it's like, obviously, you can say that about any team, like adding probably the top three wide receiver in the league to any team to their receiving core is going to help, but I just feel like watching their offense right now, and obviously you swap in Rodgers for Wilson, like that team with Breece Hall, that offense is one of the best offenses in the league, hands down. So,
yeah. I had a question I wanted to ask.
Of course, brother.
Ask you, Nick. I've seen the past couple weeks the Raiders have been token up after game celebratory cigars. Yeah. Are you going to be joining in these weeks with a couple of stogies after the wins?
I can't even think of the last time I had a full cigar. The last one I could.
I'm thinking of George Costanza when he tries to convince Susan that he smokes cigarettes.
Pretty much it, yeah.
Big smoker.
They got their claws in there, whatever he says. But I distinctly remember the last time I had a full cigar or tried to. This is real a throwback, but Chris Pigley of Veno over hanging out in the hot tub, just chilling. And of course, we figured that was the perfect time to each have our own cigars. And of course, as if you couldn't be lightheaded enough, like, why not do this in a hot tub for over an hour at a time? Legitimately, this was like almost going on 15 years ago. Just like, I felt such a head rush, just like felt horrible, wanted to puke the entire time. We're up in like the mountains too. God, like, honestly, that was the last time I've had like a full cigar since then. Not opposed to them, but yeah.
Victory cigars, they keep winning. Exactly. You might have to get on board.
who knows? I'll have to figure something else out. But yeah, no, I saw that last week and I couldn't, I thought it was a joke, honestly, at first when they said it. But you know what? Whatever works. That's the thing. Like,
hey,
Josh McDaniels, honestly, who probably would have been going around like stamping him out with his feet and stuff like that. So I know that rumor that they said, like, they had that one report from Jay Glazer, I guess, where someone mentioned, I forget what the actual story, I guess it came out that it wasn't true, but they said, oh, Antonio Pierce, he like came in and gave a speech and was like, oh, when we beat the Patriots in 2007 for like the Super Bowl, he was kind of giving him like a pump up speech and like using the 2007 Super Bowl. And that the rumor was that like Josh McDaniels pulled him aside and was like, you don't ever talk about the Patriots like that or anything, like, which clearly it had to be like, I probably, what's the one account? Not Trill Ballins, but the, Dr. Barry. That's like something he would like post and it just like, oh, someone picks it up and thinks it's real, but yeah, I mean, like, it's just it's so obvious. Like, Josh McDaniels, it's just they all hated him. It was so funny when I saw that they were wheeling in like cornhole and like Davante Adams and Amir Abdullah are playing like one on one in like a mini hoop. It's just like you never saw any of that in the last year and a half. So
that was a funny clip. Davante Adams like swished like a three on like a mini hoop. I was like, oh, yeah. Damn.
He's like, yeah, he's athlete. Like sitting. I guess he was like sitting in the locker room, like showing guys his like high school basketball tape and like doing all this stuff. So I don't know. It's just, I feel like you never heard any stories like that. And it's been 8 days since Antonio Pierce took over and like already it's completely different. So if he doesn't stick around next year, who knows, but hopefully someone in that same vein, like honestly, like a Dan Campbell, same vein, like people are just going to like go to war for him. He loves the guys.
Yeah.
Like you see it for obviously from Hard Knocks and even watching him yesterday too, beating the Chargers. It's just like, they just want to go out there and compete for him. And I just don't think they ever had that with Josh McDaniels for a second. It's just, it's night and day.
If you had Chris Pigliavento on your cabin crew bingo card, congratulations.
There you go.
What an obscure reference.
I definitely did. Definitely did not.
Shout out,
no,
Chris,
no
shout
way.
Out Chris Piggs. I think that was my last.
No more.
Last time I ever tried to smoke a full cigar. Yeah, for sure. But yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
High school or college?
I think it was like probably either senior year or like freshman year of college, like when we're just like home during the summer or something like that. That was honestly, I don't want to say last time I saw him, but it's probably one of the last times I saw him.
That definitely was the last time I saw him. High school.
He's a dad now. I met his brother last summer, and Chris Piggs is a dad. So,
if you can believe
shout out Chris Piggs.
And we actually got him right here in the lobby. No.
Here he comes.
If you guys can work in the Merv Griffin Show theme music just now, just like put a picture, put it, just slide a picture of him.
Dan.
Oh, too funny. Well, Nick, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Absolutely,
you know,
my pleasure.
We don't get to have you on every year, but it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Hey, yeah. Whenever you guys need me, I'm here.
Yeah, maybe we'll be talking playoff hunt later in the season.
Let's do it.
Bring your expertise.
We'll have plenty of time on both of our hands as most likely, drop the pen, most likely all of us are going to be watching them and just, as usual, just sitting back, kicking back, watching the playoffs without any attachment to them whatsoever.
Yep.
January tradition, like no other.
Yeah.
Honestly, and like, it's going to sound funny, but like, when you guys started this podcast and I saw that the Raiders were on the schedule, and because I knew you guys said you guys were having Will on when they played the Bills, but like I'm assuming they had Rodgers. Like I was just thinking, I was like, if they did have me on, and like at this point, especially now after watching a couple weeks of Jimmy G, I was just going to be like thinking to myself, you guys have me on, and then for maybe 2 seconds, I'd be like, I think it's going to be a blowout, and I just like sign off, and that's it. Like just that like quick little hit. Like you've been asking me how the game's going to go, but. I'm glad that I could actually come on with a Raiders win, fortunately, against the whole theme of the podcast. But no, I really appreciate you guys.
We're happy for our friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we're always happy for
it. I mean, Antonio Pierce, they're probably going to run him out of town in 3 weeks anyway, after these next two games. But it was fun while it lasted. Remember the good times.
That's it.
Big tone. The Raider and Jet way. What'd you call him?
Big Tone.
Tone Pierce.
Another Jets thing, he comes under the Herm Edwards coaching tree at Arizona State. So,
did he? Does hashtag, he really?
Herm's still at it.
Hashtag don't press send, Herm Edwards. Remember that speech he gave to like his kids about like not tweeting and stuff like that?
Don't press send.
So,
Hall of Fame soundbite coach. Oh, yeah. Other than
playoff.
That,
I know.
Might be it.
I'm surprised he hasn't come back to like TV. It's been, I mean, I think it's
Jim Mora.
Last year he got fired, but.
Yeah, Ben, that was.
I'm thinking of you play playoffs. To win the game. It's wrong coach.
Wrong coach.
Playoffs. That's not Herm Edwards. You play to win the
it's
game.
It's going to damn snack.
That was Herm, right?
Herm Edwards.
That's a
every coach down by ever.
What was the other one? The guy from the Cardinals. Dennis whatever.
Oh, Dennis Green. Oh, we are. And they are who they thought we were. The Bears.
They already thought they were.
We let him off the hook.
He like slams the podium. God. And Mike Singletary too. Can't do it.
Herm Edwards, legendary sound bites.
All of those. That was all him.
That was all him.
The hat, the fedora he used to wear on the sidelines. No, Tom Landry. Just every tribute, every coaching thing.
And that wildcat that he instilled.
The bear sweater.
Tony Sperano.
The bear sweater, the aviator sunglasses. Classic Herm.
That's all Herm.
Classic Herm. Classic Herm Edwards.
The khakis, the overcoat, the suit and tie.
Cut off hoodie.
That cut off sweatshirt, yeah.
Yeah. Someone's got a Photoshop.
Herm Edwards had more influence on the NFL than any coach ever.
It's going to be the Lombardi trophy? No, that was the Herm Edwards trophy.
The Herm.
Legend. The Herm. The Herm. Oh, my God. What a rabbit hole.
What were you guys talking about prior to that? I mean, obviously, prior to the Jets game before that, but any other topics?
Vegas experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, the roller coaster that they showed on the game last night. When Brian had his party, we had him go on and puked everywhere.
Let's see. Vegas experience with the Wynn buffet, fantastic.
Ooh.
Honestly, the last time I went to Vegas, like me and my dad, we pretty much we went specifically to just like sports game, like because it wasn't legal in New York at that point. Pretty much went for Columbus Day weekend. Spent maybe 40 of like 48 hours in the sports book and just like pretty much walked back and forth to eat. It was like college football weekend, NFL Sunday, and NBA starting up, hockey starting up, MLB playoffs. So it was just like there was nonstop action. So like first game for college football of the day was like 8 o'clock in the morning until obviously the late Pac-12 games, whatever it is now. So yeah, Vegas didn't really kick it out too much, but buffet at the Wynn was very good though.
Hey, that's Vegas, right. Baby.
Would love to go back.
Was it a top five buffet in your experience all time?
The one at Turning Stone is going to be tough to beat, but yeah, I'd say it's up there. Win great hotel.
Shout out Verona.
Win great hotel, though, honestly. Amenities were top-notch, great rooms. I highly recommend if anyone's going back. And Michael Jackson slot machine, if it's still there. Very profitable.
Big winner?
I was, actually. I was there so long, they actually had me sign up for a rewards card mid, like, session. It never happened before.
You just didn't
Free
leave.
Drinks.
Everything. 8 hours.
It was. They were like, they had people come over. I'm just like, basically just like signing up with my one hand.
At the Michael Jackson slot machine?
Yeah, I was legitimately there for probably 4 hours. And just like.
They kept telling you to beat it, and you didn't.
Hey.
I was trying to think of a pun on quick off of one of his stuff.
It's all right. You were there for 4 hours, and you didn't get up to pee, get a drink.
That slot machine was a thriller.
There you go.
I still can't think of a song.
I think Billie Jean was bringing the drinks.
Billie Jean.
Whiskey Sours. I do distinctly remember that because it was like back in the time where I was like my mixed drinks were just like very, 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 very basic.
Sure.
Oh, man. Still can't think of another song.
Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, there you go. What other songs were on the Thriller album now that we mentioned it? Is there any other, like, Billie Jean, was that all on the same album? I should probably know this, but...
You're the music expert. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Isn't, like, well, I don't even know. Probably that Thriller album version is probably, like, what, 30 minutes long? Or is that just the movie, like, the music video they made, like the zombie thing?
I think that's just the music video.
Yeah. I do have the Thriller record, but I don't know what the song's on it. I've never played it. It was my dad's.
Yeah. Michael Jackson? Is that a request?
Mikey J.
Me and Aaron a couple weeks ago, when the Jets had a bye, did our top things to do on a bye. Mm-hmm. The Raiders haven't had their bye yet. Mm-hmm. I just realized. So they have it in like 3 weeks, I think, after Thanksgiving. I'm curious, what do you do as a Raiders fan on your bye week? Like, what do you do?
Relax in knowing that they're not going to lose.
Yeah.
For just 1 week out of the
I was aiming for
the right answer.
Non-football related things. It's a good answer.
Not necessary. Oh yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, yeah, it's not necessarily what I do. It's just like a state of mind. It's just like, but I can at that point for the rest of the day and weekend, I know that the Raiders aren't going to ruin my weekend, so I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm a
more positive person on those weekends for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably just order food. Watch Red Zone anyways, but nothing crazy out of the ordinary, but just that back of it. It's kind of like, it is like almost like the Sunday scaries. It's not really as much work. It's just like, what are the Raiders going to do to embarrass me this week? And that's really just how it's been for the last 20 years. It's not an exaggeration. It's just, it's more or less, it's like, I don't want them to not lose. It's just like, I don't want them to embarrass me at this point. Like the losses are like whatever, but it's just like, don't embarrass me to the point where I have to field text messages after the game. It's like, are these guys, it's like, have you seen or did you see what happened?
Yeah.
Like, obviously I'm watching.
Obviously, yeah, right.
Those texts kill me. It's like, did you see what I was like, I can't believe that. I was like, I can't watch them watching the game for 25 years. It's just like the ones like that. I'm sick of being just the answering. It's just like the PR rep for the Raiders of the Northeast.
Texts are the worst.
It's just like, yes. It's like, yes, I saw what happened. This is not the first time I've seen this happen. This last year was the perfect example. It's just like, yes, I saw it happen. This is a loss that would set a franchise back for 5 years, but this is something that happens like monthly for us. So it's just like, it's just the same canned answers at this point. It's getting pretty stale. So if you do text me eventually after a Raiders loss, it's just it's probably something I copy and pasted from a year ago for a different game.
Try not to.
Well, we're in the same boat. So we wouldn't get those same text messages.
I know, Yeah, they are really almost like the Jets and Raiders, especially. I mean, the Raiders had prestige for a while as a franchise, but now, I mean, the last 20 years, it's Raiders and Jets are almost
hand in hand.
Quite similar. I mean, the Jets at least had two AFC championship berths, things like that. But for the most part, it's similar wavelength. It's just like embarrassing thing after embarrassing thing. And then you get a little bit of like a glimpse of things maybe turning around. I think I would still say the Jets are probably more obviously with Rodgers now, it's no question, but at least with the defense, you have something that you can hang your hat on. It's like builds an identity. The Raiders essentially now haven't really had an identity for the last few years, at least when they had like Gruden and Jack Del Rio, they had like an offense that was actually feared, but now it's just like mediocrity throughout the entire organization. But it seems like now at least things are maybe just starting to turn back in the other direction ever so slightly.
Smoking like a true Jets fan.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. A lot of parallels.
Too many. At least you guys have made the playoffs in the last decade. Yeah. Can't say the same.
Yeah.
It's true.
We
You guys haven't in the last
decade? No.
2012? 2011?
2012.
Yeah. So, been a minute.
More than a decade. I think longest drought in sports, I think, right?
Yeah. I think the Giants were the second longest. Oh, in football. Yeah, in all sports. That sounds right.
I think so.
Yeah, it's good. Got to be at this point because Texans, yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I didn't realize it was out. Was it when they made the AFC championship?
I think with Rex, yeah.
I think so.
The year before he left for Buffalo.
The second one, yeah.
Not great. Damn. Not great.
I always remember the game when we went in Buffalo when they lost in the last week.
We
of
remember
season.
It well, too.
But I mean, like, they were good. They were competitive for like those stretch of years.
They were 10-6. That was their last good offensive year. I saw something the other day. It was like they were top 10 in the league in offense. And every other year in the past decade, they've been like in the 30s.
Yeah.
So bad.
Why not? There's the stats they were showing yesterday. It's like worst, would be
NFL
worst
red zone
season since 1972. Yeah, it's like the red zone's like 22%.
The worst red zone team in the history of the NFL ever. Yeah.
Zach Attack, baby.
Third down percentage, like 29%. Like,
not great. Geez. No.
So.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, in spite of all that, I should say, had a legitimate chance of being 5-4 after this week. Like, I don't know. It does pretty resilient on the defense side, at least. And obviously, you got Hall and Wilson still playing at an elite level. But it is a testament to even be in this position. Like, this season, realistically, once Rodgers got hurt, this is like a 3-4 win team, even with the defense. But with Zach Wilson starting, the fact that they already have 4 wins and a legit chance of probably winning 7 or 8 games this season, it's still a nice rallying thing to build into next year, even if Rodgers is going to come back. But
yeah, for sure.
That's what we needed. You know what? I'm back.
A little confidence boost from Nick here in the booth.
There we go. All right.
I was impressed. I mean, as a younger man, I would definitely like pounce on this opportunity, but to jump on the Jets. But no, I legitimately like impressed the fact. I mean, the defense is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately enjoy watching them play on defense. But just to get to this point, I know the games haven't been like anything crazy. Like, they've been ugly, but like they lost to the Chiefs, tight game. Like, they've had losses where playing really well came up short. So I mean, those games go another way. It's a whole different season, but with Zach Wilson at quarterback instead of Rodgers, and Rodgers potentially still coming back, you never know. I mean, this loss does hurt their chances, but
hey,
I mean, the Bills haven't looked phenomenal the last couple weeks. I don't even know how this game's going. If Jerry Jeudy has 9 points, I'm going to lose it. But
bringing your fantasy team into this thing?
I apologize.
It's all right. Now you're upside down. It's all right.
Yeah, I must
is he upside down to you?
Jeez. Yeah.
There he is.
No, I was, yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
I'll let you guys go because I've dragged
no.
long enough.
We love it. I was going to say, me and Aaron haven't even
talked positivity.
I haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers. This podcast would have been a 3-4 win podcast, Nick, if not for you. Got a glimmer of hope. We appreciate your insights.
Yes.
And you'll be back. Thanks,
man. My pleasure. At least I can provide it for some NFL team, not the Raiders.
What are you going to do? Congrats on Gunner, by the way. Future's bright in Baltimore.
Oh, you're thank welcome. You so much.
Yes.
Extra first round
love
pick,
it.
Too.
That's a little baseball talk.
Even more
cabin.
Ammunition. So thank welcome. You so much. Yes, absolutely.
Had to sprinkle it in there. All right. For myself, Ben, our special guest, Nick, and Aaron, this has been the Cabin Crew Podcast. Signing off. Till next time. I'm not going to say it, but go Jets, I guess.
Yeah. Go Jets.
Go Jets. Anyway.